Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and open them to Mark chapter 6. One of the great things that my parents got from my college education is my ability to give extemporaneous speeches. So today I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. Not really. I've been going through the book of Mark in my devotions. And I came across this passage this week, and I believe it would be great for us today to just kind of look at this. And it's something that I think is very timely for many of us. And I know that across our church, it's extremely timely for them. It is no secret that in our ministry, there are a lot of people that are hurting. Just last night, we had to cross the prayer chain that Lynn Rohr, her cousin Billy, had an accident. Yesterday afternoon, came across our prayer chain that David and Jane are not with us today because they're ministering to David's dad. They put him in hospice last night because of the impending storm, and this morning they're taking David's mom up there, and Dan Friesen, Mr. Friesen, has been battling liver cancer for about 13 years, and last week he rolled over in bed, and just the body weight, and he doesn't weigh much anymore, but he snapped his collarbone, and they're not able to minister to him and care for him, so the family put him in hospice. We know about the trials and the tribulations of what the Prokop family is going through. Somebody asked me what my band was a while ago, and this is in memory of Marlena. And that situation, Lord willing, will rectify itself sometime in August, and we've been pretty much assured that it has to be rectified by the end of September. So about a year and a half from start to finish there. We've been praying for Robin and Colton and their scenario and their situation. We know about Anthony, and Anthony is due for, is it sentencing or arraignment?
Yes.
Sentencing. Sentencing on April the 19th, maybe a little bit earlier than that. But he pleaded, now it's kind of up to the judge to do the sentencing there. There are a lot of people in our church that are hurting. There are also a lot of people in our church that are really walking through some great things. And your life is doing well. And I don't say all the bad things to make you feel bad if you're going through the good things. If you're going through the good things, we need you, okay, to help us out. Of course, you know, and I would just tell you this, I appreciate so much the love and the response of this church towards my family. And I will tell you that we get regular everyday updates, 5 minutes a day, about our son Jaron, and he is doing fantastic where he is at. And I just want to tell you thank you for your prayers, and we will continue to keep you up to date as much as we can. But it's been a very difficult week for our family. Some of the emotions that we have felt, I did not anticipate. But I believe in the long run it will help us be better believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and also better ministers of the gospel of grace. This week I came across this passage in verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land, and he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. I want you to understand one of the first things that we need to understand about our Savior is that it is quite possible that Jesus directs us into the middle of a storm, or in the middle of a trial, or in the middle of a dangerous situation, or in the middle of an uncertain time in our life. It is quite possible that God does that. In fact, we know that God will allow us to go through trying times or struggling times or times of suffering not to hurt us, not to injure us. It doesn't mean that we're going to enjoy it. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, raise our hand in church and give a praise testimony of how beaten down God made us this last week. But what we know from James is that we are to consider the process of trials and tribulations joy, because it makes us mature and complete, not lacking anything. It doesn't make us perfect, doesn't make us sinless, but it brings us more into Christ's likeness. It brings us more into the need for who God is and who God wants to be in our lives. And I would submit this to you today, that these were trained fishermen. These were men that had been out there on the Sea of Galilee over and over and over and over. And in verse 48, it says that Jesus saw the straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Not only is it quite possible that God may direct us into some storms, but it is also possible, and it's probable, and it's certain that He sees us in the midst of those trying times. Just like David in Psalm 142, you know, God, I'm crying out to you. I'm in a bad place. I'm discouraged. I'm distressed. I'm down. I'm disheartened. Where do I turn? I turn to you. God saw. God cared. God knows. God knows every situation. In fact, I would submit to you today that He knows every situation perfectly. In other words, whether you're sitting in the front row or the back row, people, God knows where you're at. And God cares about where you're at. He knows about my family. He knows about your family. He knows about the things that are going to happen this week and the things that happened last week. One of the great things that I've learned through this study of the Fully Devoted study is that, you know, God cares more for us than He does the sparrows, but He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. Now, I have a little confession to make, and so if you're PETA people, so just plug your ears, okay? But in my younger, more rebellious days, I shot a few sparrows with a BB gun. God knew every single one of those sparrows that I shot. A lot more flew away than I shot, I will tell you that, because those BB guns weren't as reliable as they are now. But to know that God cares about that. So that there are times that Jesus may direct us into a storm, but when we're in the middle of that storm, I can assure you that just like His disciples, Jesus knew they were there. Notice this. Verse 49, verse 48 says, about the fourth watch of the night He went out to them, walking on the lake. And He was about to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw Him and were terrified. And immediately He spoke to them and He said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. I can't imagine being in a boat in the middle of the night, in the middle of a windswept Sea of Galilee, and looking up and having a guy walk by me. You just think about that for a moment. John MacArthur writes the book, 12 Ordinary Men, and they were ordinary. That means they were just like you. They were just like me. I would have screamed if I'd have saw a guy walking on water. And I think that to some degree there's a little bit of humor in this, that they think that Jesus Christ was a ghost. We see the humanity side of the disciples. And yet notice, though Jesus may direct us into a storm, and though Jesus may see us in the midst of that storm, there's also a third aspect of this. Jesus also goes to meet us in the middle of our storms. Now I know that in so many scenarios in my life in the past, I don't always... It's not natural for me to always look for Jesus first. Maybe you're like that. He might get the first blame. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why is this happening to my family? Why are we going through this? Or you know, why did this circumstance happen or this circumstance happen? And you can almost maybe put yourself in that boat for a little bit. Great, Jesus put us here. Where is he? You know, we're out here, we're doing exactly what he told us to do, and we're struggling and we're straining and the oars aren't working because the wind is against us. Well, who owns the wind? Who has the wind in the palm of his hands? Who has the snow? Praise God, I'm getting snow. And yet, Jesus meets us in the midst of our storms. He's right there. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the midst of your storm. And if you're not in a storm right now, wait 30 minutes, you'll be in a storm. He's there. You know what dawned on me as I was working through this? Is the disciples almost missed him in the midst of the storm. They didn't see that it was him. They were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. Here's Jesus. He's there. He's walking. He's right there in the midst of this storm with them. But they almost missed him. And you know, when I was writing this on Wednesday, I had to stop and I had to say, you know, Father, forgive me for the times when I miss Jesus in the midst of the storm. When I miss your presence because either I'm ignorant or I'm rebellious, or I want it to be about me instead of being about what you want to do in our lives. How often does that happen? How often is God right there? You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But when you're in the midst of trials and tribulations, you want more than what you're getting sometimes from a holy God. You're getting more. You want more than what God wants to do in your life. You want what you want to do as opposed to what he's trying to do in our lives. And here's Jesus. He directed them. He saw them. He went out to meet them. They almost missed him. See, when we're in the middle of trials and tribulations, we're not in the middle of trial and tribulation without hope or without help. Because God is right there with us. Jesus Christ is walking us through. He has shown us how to walk through these storms, these trials. Notice what happens here. It says, they saw him and they were terrified, and immediately he spoke to them and he said, notice the words of Jesus, take courage. It is I. And then he said this, don't be afraid. Now, why did he tell them to take courage? Because they were struggling. They were weak. They were worried. They were concerned. They were anxious. Those waves were crashing in on them. And yet Jesus comes and says, take courage. Imagine the words falling upon their ears in his eye. It is I. Let's translate it a different way. I'm here. I'm here. How many times in your life is it difficult for you to see God in a specific situation? How often in your life when you go through a trial or a tribulation and you sit there and you go, God, where are you? I believe one of the reasons why David was a man after God's own heart was because he was truly open and honest with his emotions. When God was distant, he wrote, God, why are you so distant? When he felt alone and isolated and surrounded, you know what he did? He wrote about being alone and isolated and surrounded. God, why do the wicked perish or prosper? God, why am I surrounded? Everyone else has forsaken me. But one of the other things that makes David man after God's own heart is that in the midst of those battles, in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those tribulations, in the midst of those moments of isolation and alone, being alone, I would cry out to the Lord. And you know what? Almost every time in the Psalms, when you see, I cried out to the Lord, you hear these words, and he heard my what? Cry. Prayer. Call. He heard. Here are these disciples in the boat. They're terrified. And what does Jesus do? Take courage. It is I. And then he says this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are a lot of things that as a man, as a husband, as a parent, as a pastor, as a United States citizen, that scares the stuffing out of me. I don't like the direction this nation's going. I don't like the direction this world's going. And it's getting worse, just like the Bible tells us it's getting worse. But you remember what Jesus said to his disciples as he was saying goodbye to them? You go into all the world, you make disciples. You go into all the world, you teach them all things. You go into all the world, you baptize them. Then he says this, and lo, I am with you always. So this world's going bad. So this world's striving for world peace. So North Korea sets off a nuclear bomb. Things are going to happen in the United States of America in the next 4 years that none of us are going to appreciate. I found out the other day, I was eavesdropping on a conversation that somebody else was having, that Obamacare is already bankrupt. I haven't even gotten my first flu shot, thanks to Obama. You know? The money's gone. It hadn't even started yet. So you know what that means? Take out your wallet, open it up, throw it more into government. It's craziness. I was watching a Kindle Fire. I will not own a Kindle. I know some of you have, and that's your thing. I watched this commercial. There was two people, a man and a woman, sitting on the beach. Well, the commercial starts with this man talking to her about the Kindle Fire, and they conversation, and it soon becomes the fact that he's maybe trying to pick up this lady. And she says, well, my husband's getting me a drink. And he turns around and says, so is my husband. And I'm going, I said this to Wendy. I said, what in the world is this world coming to? And you turn around and the video pans back, and there's two men at the bar getting a drink, and both of them are waving at the two guys. Just disgusting. And yet that's the world in which we're living in. Good is evil and evil is good. There's almost not a week where it goes by where somebody's shooting somebody for no reason. Cop killer in California. Kid in Connecticut. Kid in New Mexico. We just saw that this Jessica Ridgeway, this kid's going to stand trial. I mean, he dismembered this little girl. These are normal headlines. This is what my children are growing up with. If you're over 50, your kids didn't really grow up with that. But this is the generation. It's a storm. The waves are getting bigger and bigger, and the wind's blowing harder and harder and harder. But here's what you have to understand. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Jesus Christ is still in charge. He is still on the throne. God knows exactly what he's doing. I believe that one of the reasons why this world gets worse and worse and worse is so we don't get so attached to it. Because We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ were never meant to live on this earth indefinitely. But we are meant to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Amen? And so when it goes bad, we do what the disciples did. We look up and we see Him. One of my prayers this week has been, God, let me see You in the midst of every storm. Let me see You in the midst of every trial. I went from Anthony's thing to I stopped in and I saw Chet. And Chet's struggling. God, help me see You in the midst of this storm. Help me not miss You. I've been in court so much, my kids think I did something wrong. But what I have been able to do from one place to another, to another, to another, is spend time asking God, God, show me. Show me You. Help me be You. I may not have all of the answers. I don't even know what half the questions are in some cases. But God, let me be You. Let me see You. Let others see You in me. You see, as the story ends, it says that Jesus climbed into the boat. He was still talking to them on the outside of the boat, standing on the waves. He went in with them, and the wind died down. And they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. They missed kind of the feeding of the 5,000. But I want you to see this. That there are times when we're going to be directed into storms. And in the midst of those storms, we can be assured that Jesus Christ cares. And we can be assured that Jesus Christ will be with us, walking through. And we can understand, remember, what comforted them was His presence, but also His words. So what comforts us in the midst of trials and tribulation? His Word. His Word. You know what too many people do when they're in the midst of a storm? They just shut the Bible and they blame God. The very opposite should be true for us, that in the midst of these storms, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the tribulations, instead of shutting our Bibles ought to be open. Because there's nothing like God's Word that comforts us. There's nothing like God's Word that assures us that He is there. His presence through the power of His Word. So in the midst of this, He comes. In the midst of these storms, He gives us these wonderful words of comfort. And then we experience His presence. Now notice this. If these men hadn't have been obedient and got out into the boat, into the sea, and had the storm not blown, and had they not been rowing against the wind, and had they not been afraid, and had they not been terrified, and all of that, they never would have seen Jesus walking on the water. One of the things that I've really been working through is how so important it is that if we're going to experience the greatness of God in our lives, then we need to be obedient, whether it's in the good times or in the bad times. But when we are obedient, just like these disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side, didn't anticipate the storm, but they were obedient to Christ. They saw something truly amazing. And they experienced something truly amazing. For when Jesus got in the boat, what happened? The storm stopped. The waves died. You know what? The same Jesus that was in Mark chapter 6 is the same Jesus that we have now. Now that doesn't necessarily mean, the same application isn't necessarily for us in the sense that, hey, so when we see Jesus and we recognize Jesus and he comes in the boat with us, then our storms die down. There are still going to be storms. And you still may have to walk through this storm. But notice where Jesus is. No longer was he on the mountaintop. No longer was he on the waves. But Jesus was right there with him. And in the midst of that storm, would you want Jesus any other place than walking and sitting and communing and being right there with you? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though maybe we don't feel it, even though we don't experience it the way that we think we should, God never, ever turns his back on us. That's awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day you've given us and for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray that these words today would have been a blessing, would have challenged someone to look at circumstances a little different, would have blessed a life today, would have convicted a heart. We just sang about it a little earlier, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Thank you for the power of the words of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of your word that in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tribulations, in the midst of our suffering, God, we can turn to your word and feel your presence in the midst of all of that. In Jesus' name.